Maseches Demai, Perek Hei, Mishnah Aleph, until Perek Hei, Mishnah Dalet. The first four prokim of Maseches Demai discuss the obligation to tithe Demai. Who needs to do it, who's trusted, what he needs to separate. The fifth perek of Demai discusses the separation itself, how to separate the tithes. And let's just review which tithes one needs to separate from Demai. Truma Gedola, which is the amount which goes to the Kohen, does not need to be separated because the Am HaAretz is assumed to have separated it because there's a severe punishment for not separating it. When it comes to Maaser Rishon and Maaser Oni, which goes to the Levi and the poor person respectively, these don't need to be given to the Levi and the poor person in a case of Demai because it's a doubt as to whether they are entitled to it. And one can only receive something if it's definite that he should receive it. He needs to bring a proof that he should receive it. However, Maaser Rishon still has to be designated as part of the mixture so that Trumas Maaser can be taken, because Trumas Maaser cannot be eaten by a non-Kohen, and therefore it does need to be separated and given to the Kohen. And that has to be taken from the Maaser Rishon. And therefore, even though the Maaser Rishon does not need to be given to the Levi, it does need to be designated so that Trumas Maaser can be taken. We had a discussion as to whether Maaser Oni has to be designated, but certainly Maaser Rishon does. Now, when it comes to Maaser Sheni, which is what the owner himself can keep, he just has to eat it in Yerushalayim. So since he doesn't really lose anything, he is obligated to take that up to Yerushalayim in a case of Demai. And finally, challah, which is the gift which goes to a kohen from the dough, and that obligation only comes in when it is made into dough. A non-kohen can also not eat that, and therefore it does need to be separated and given to a kohen. Now, when it comes to tithing in general, Maaser Sheni is usually tithed last. The reason being that in the Torah, both Truma and Challah are called Rishis, the first, which implies that they have priority in being separated. Now, Maaser Rishon also has priority over Maaser Sheni, because Trumas Maaser comes from Maaser Rishon. So since Trumas Maaser has priority over Maaser Sheni, so Maaser Rishon has to be separated before Trumas Maaser. Whereas Maaser Sheni has nothing Rishis about it, there's no connection between Maaser Sheni and something which is called Rishis, and therefore it is separated at the end. Now, if you recall, we learned in the second perek that bakers didn't make a lot of profit. And therefore, if bakers bought Demai produce and then sold it on to somebody who is particular about Trumas and Maaseris, so we said that the baker only has to separate the Trumas Maaser and the Challah. But when it comes to Maaser Sheni, the buyer has to separate that because the bakers don't make a lot of profit, and therefore we don't want to burden them with separating Maaser Sheni. Now, in our Mishnah, we're going to talk of a baker who sells in bulk, which means that he makes even less profit than normal bakers, which is a tiny amount. And therefore, in our Mishnah, the baker has no obligation whatsoever to tithe the produce, as long as he's selling it to somebody else who he knows will tithe it. And therefore, the buyer has to separate Trumas Maaser Challah and Maaser Sheni. So the Mishnah tells us, Halakech v'anachtoim, one who buys produce, one who buys bread of Demai from a baker. Keitzad hu ma'aser, how should he tithe it? The answer is, Noitel kedei Trumas Maaser v'Challah. He should take the amount of Trumas Maaser and Challah. Trumas Maaser is a tenth of the Maaser Rishon, which itself is a tenth of the produce, which means Trumas Maaser is 1/100 of the entire bread, and Challah, at least when it's bought from a baker, is 1/48 of the bread. Now, he doesn't actually have to separate this from the mixture yet. He could just make a mark on the bread, at the edge of the bread, where he marks off an area of the bread, which is 1/100 plus 1/48 of the entire bread. The Omerani says, and the first thing which he needs to say and designate is the Trumas Maaser. But in order to do that, he has to first designate the Maaser Rishon. So the Omer, he should say, Echad Mimea Mamasha Yesh Kan, 1/100th of the bread, which is over here, meaning in the marked off part of the bread, Hari Bitzad Zeh Maaser. On this side of the mark is Maaser Rishon. Now that's only 1/100th. He has to separate a tenth, which is 10/100ths. So therefore he says, Ushar Maaser, the rest of the Maaser Rishon, i.e. 9/100ths, Somuchlai, is next to it in the rest of the bread. It's not in the marked off part, because the marked off part represents the bit which is going to the Kohen, and only 1/10th of the Maaser Rishon is going to go to the Kohen. So he has now separated 1/10th of the bread as Maaser Rishon, and 1/10th of that 1/10th is within the marked off part. It's not yet Trumas Maaser, it's still at this stage Maaser Rishon. And then he says, Zesh Osisi Maaser, this 1/100th, which I made Maaser Rishon in the marked off part of the bread, also Trumas Maaser, should now be made Trumas Maaser Olov on the Maaser Rishon as a whole. So he has now separated 1/100th of the produce as Trumas Maaser in the marked off part of the bread. Vashar, and the rest of the marked off part of the bread, Challah, should be Challah, and then he can take that part off the bread and give it to the Kohen. Now, what about Maaser Sheni? So, Maaser Sheni, He should say that the Maaser Sheni is on the north side or the south side, meaning he should designate where on the bread, which part of the bread is Maaser Sheni, but he doesn't actually have to separate that. He could, if he wants to, he could say that it is being redeemed onto money, like they would usually do when it comes to Maaser Sheni, redeem that onto money and then take the money up to Yerushalayim and spend it there on produce over there. Mishnah Beis, we're now going to see another unusual way of tithing. And that is when somebody wants to separate Haritza the Hafrish, one wants to separate Trumos from a Smaisa Ka'achas, both Truma Gedola, which is generally 2% of the produce, and Trumas Maser, which is 1% of the produce at one go. He wants to separate them together, even though Yisrael is not obligated to separate Trumas Maser, because usually the Levi separates that from the Maserishan which he receives. If this person wants to separate the Trumas Maser, then at least according to our Mishnah, he can. So if he wants to do that together, and give one lot to the Kohen in one go, how should he do it? So altogether he has to separate 3% of his produce. So how should he do this? He should take, or he should mark off, 1 out of 33 and a third so'ah of the produce. 33 and a third is a third of 100. 33%. Now 1 out of that is 3%. So he marks off 3% of the produce, and that's enough for both Trumas Maaser and Truma Gedola. And the first thing which he has to separate in this case is Truma Gedola. So for Omer he should say, 1/100th of the entire produce, which is here on the marked off part of the produce. So meaning 1%, on this side that should be chulin. And the truth is this is not used in the strict sense of chulin. Chulin generally means produce which has been tithed. But over here chulin really means produce which is not holy, it's not truma or anything. It remains tevel. It remains untithed. The hasha'ar and the rest of the marked off part, meaning the 2% which is remaining, truma al hakol, that should be truma gedola for everything. Meaning he's just separated 2% of the produce for truma gedola. Now the reason why he can't just say 2% should be truma gedola, he first has to say if 1% shouldn't be truma, and the rest of it should. The reason why he has to do this is because the halacha is truma gedola cannot be separated in an exact way. You can't measure exactly 2%. You need to give it as an estimation. So he can't say 2% should be truma. Even if he is separating exactly 2%, he should rather say 1% is not truma, and the rest of it, however much it is, should be truma gedola. And that way he is not separating it in an exact measured manner. Alright, now he goes on to the trumas maisa, the 1%. So me'el chulin sheyesh kan, the 1/100th, so-called chulin, the 1/100th untithed produce which is here, meaning the 1% which is on the marked area, that should be Maserishan. However, that's only 1%. Maserishan is 10%. So Sha'or Maser, the rest of the Maserishan which has to be separated, Somuchloi, that is next to it, meaning in the unmarked part of the produce. And Zeshel Sisi Maser, the bit on the marked off area which I made Maserishan, also Trumas Maser Alav, should become Trumas Maser for the entire Maserishan. And the next two words, Vash'or Chala, the rest of it should be Chala, we're not going to explain those words because many Girsas remove those words from the Mishnah. Because we're not discussing dough. We're discussing produce where only the Trumas Maser and the Truma Gedola need to be given to the Kohen. Nothing else is being given to the Kohen. Okay, and finally, like in the previous Mishnah, Maaser Sheni. The Maaser Sheni, which is the tenth which has to be separated and brought up to Yerushalayim, Bitzvona Obedromoi, he designates that as either the north part of the produce or the south part, meaning he designates a specific part of it to be Maaser Sheni. And then if he wants to, Mechulal Alamois, he can say that that should be redeemed onto money, and he'll take the money up to Yerushalayim. Mishnah Gimel, the halacha is that if somebody has two piles of produce, and they could have even come from totally different places, but if they are both obligated in the tithes, and they haven't yet been tithed, then I can separate the tithes from one pile on behalf of the other pile. So if, let's say, each pile is 100 so'ah each, which means that Maserishan for each pile is 10, so he could separate 20 so'ah from one of them, and if he declares that he's doing it on behalf of the other one, then they would both be considered tithed, and both can now be eaten. However, this can only be done if both piles need to be tithed, which means that if somebody has two different loaves, which he bought from two different Ami Haaretz, so they're both Dumai, he can't separate tithes from one on behalf of the other, because perhaps one of the Ami Haaretz did tithe the produce and one didn't, which means that not both piles are obligated in the tithes, and therefore he can't separate the tithes from one on behalf of the other. The question of our Mishnah is somebody who buys Dumai loaves from a baker. He buys them from one baker. However, the baker gets his ingredients from other people, and those other people are presumed to be Ami Haaretz. The question is, do we assume that the baker buys from one Ami Haaretz the whole time, or that he buys from a number of different Ami Haaretz? So according to the first opinion of our Mishnah, Ma'aseh ben Acham al Tzinenes, the buyer can separate the tithes from the warm bread, meaning the bread which was baked today, al Tzinenes, on behalf of the bread which is cold, meaning the bread which was baked yesterday. And the same applies the other way around. When Atzinenes al Achama, he can also separate tithes from yesterday's bread on behalf of today's bread. Afilim tefusin harbe, even if it's from different forms. If the bread is baked in different shapes and they were baked on different days, we still assume, according to Rabbi Meir, that the baker buys his ingredients from one Am Haaretz, and therefore that Am Haaretz either does tithe his produce or doesn't. But he doesn't sometimes tithe produce and sometimes not, which means that you can tithe from one onto the other. The Rabbi Meir, that is the opinion of Rabbi Meir, but Rabbi Yehuda Isa, Rabbi Yehuda forbids this, meaning he forbids separating tithes from bread of one day onto bread of the other day. Shani Omer, because I say, says Rabbi Yehuda, Chitim Shal Emesh, Hoy Mishal Echod, the wheat of yesterday's bread was from one Am Haaretz, Shal Hayom, but the wheat of today's bread, Hoy Mishal Acher, was bought from somebody else. And therefore it could be that one of them is tithe and one isn't. Now you'll notice that Rabbi Yehuda agrees that the shape of the bread doesn't make a difference. So if you buy bread in different shapes on the same day, Rabbi Yehuda would agree that you can tithe from one onto the other, because he assumes that they were bought all from the same person, on the same day at least. However, Rabbi Shimon holds that not only is bread which is baked on different days considered to possibly be from different sellers, from different Ami Haaretz, but even the form of the bread indicates a different seller. So if you buy on the same day different forms of bread, different shapes, according to Rabbi Shimon, you would not be able to separate tithes from one loaf onto the other. So Rabbi Shimon Oiser b'Trumas Maaser, Rabbi Shimon forbids you to do this with Trumas Maaser, and the truth is it applies to all of the tithes, except for Challah. Umate b'Challah, Rabbi Shimon allows you to tithe from one loaf onto the other when it comes to Challah, and in fact all the opinions of our Mishnah allow this, and the reason for this is because the obligation of Challah only sets in once the produce is made into dough. And the Ami Haaretz sold the produce to the baker before that stage, which means when the obligation is set in, all of the produce was owned by the baker, and therefore Challah can certainly be tithed from one loaf onto the other, and therefore you know that all the loaves are definitely chayv in Challah, because the baker did not separate the Challah himself. Mishnah Dalet, halakech on a palter. One who buys from a palter, who is somebody who buys from lots of bakers, and then sells on the produce to different people. So in this case, Rabbi Meir agrees that ma'asim called tfus tfus, you do need to separate the tithes from each form of bread individually, because you need to assume that each shape of bread came from a different baker, because you know that the palter buys from lots of different bakers. Do Rabbi Meir, that is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, even in this situation, on the same day, me'echdal akol, you can separate tithes from one loaf on behalf of all of the loaves. Because Rabbi Yehuda says that even though a palter buys from different bakers, that's on different days, but on a given day, he buys from one baker. He uses one baker as his supplier for one day, and therefore any loaf you buy on the same day, you can separate from one on behalf of the rest. However, Rabbi Yehuda agrees to Rabbi Meir, b'lokech man a manpol, that if somebody buys different shapes of bread from a manpol, and a manpol is somebody who buys from lots of palters, who himself buys from lots of different bakers, so by the time you've got to a manpol, you can certainly assume, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, that each loaf comes from different people. And therefore, Shuma Asim Kol Echad Echad, he would need to separate tithes from each shape of bread individually. So if you've got lots of loaves which have the same shape, then you can still assume that they all came from the same person. However, if there are different shapes, you need to be worried that they came from different Ami Haaretz, and it could be that one of them did tithe and one of them didn't, and therefore you cannot separate tithes from one loaf, one shape of a loaf, on behalf of another shape.